Welcome to Honeymoon Mindset. We are passionate about helping everyone be in an everlasting honeymoon phase just like us. We will teach you how to get to paradise in your relationship and stay there for the long haul. Shy away from real talk? No way. We cover it all. Fights, sex, past relationship, family issues, and way more. We are your hosts, Beth and James Deppa.
Welcome to the Honeymoon Mindset Show. Welcome this week. What a great week it is. And here with me, my beautiful co-host, Beth. How are you doing, sweetheart?
I'm doing good, honey.
Great. Ready for a lot of positive, upbeat, upright energy?
Yes, definitely.
You know, it's been a long last few days for
us. It has been, yeah.
So what's something interesting that you've learned those last couple days?
That I've learned?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I'm not 21 anymore. I need more sleep.
Yes. I hear and feel that.
So this episode, we're doing some Q&A, right? We got some questions on our Facebook page and emailed.
Yes, our Facebook group, our Honeymoon Mindset Facebook group, emails, and also from our website, passionatelifementors.com. Plus, we have exciting news to share.
We do.
We do. We'll have to share it at the end, won't we?
Yes. And keep everyone in suspense.
And you look dumbfounded, like, what's this news?
No.
That's what it looks like. So, yes, we, about 2.5 weeks ago, I put out, you know, now that we have our radio show going, what are some of the questions that the listeners may already have or want to know? So, going through some of those questions, the first one is, what are you grateful for?
Yeah. So I actually was thinking about this today, and was driving a little bit, so it kind of popped in my head, thinking about what an amazing year this has been for us, for me particularly, and just how grateful and blessed I am that... I can't complain about my life at all. I mean, I've been very, very blessed throughout, but this last year has really been a game changer. Mm-hmm. It's really just opened my eyes, opened my heart, opened my soul. I mean, it's just all the way around. I guess I've opened up to where growing myself unintentionally, you know, has really opened up all these other avenues, again, for myself, but for us also, and it's going to help thousands of people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so fulfilling, and I just love it. I'm just grateful for the opportunity that we have.
Cool.
So what are you grateful for?
Oh, that's a great question.
I don't want to hear comfortable bed either. I want something good.
I would take my comfortable bed right now.
I'm sure.
Because the last couple of days I've been working my butt off in the hot heat.
Hot heat?
In the Phoenix
versus
area.
The hot cold?
Uh-huh. I'm grateful for that I have people in my life.
Yeah.
I have you in my life, my kids. We get to do stuff together. I'm grateful for where my life is going, that I've put time into me and who I am.
Yep.
And being able to take that to the next level. being able to be okay with getting out the comfort zone. Yeah. And when I'm not in that comfort zone, I really start to grow as a person and as us. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen.
We have a visitor.
Yes. Our cat Butterscotch wants to get in with his meows here and there.
He wanted to share that he's grateful for having a nice house to come into when he feels like it and have some food and water.
Yep. So that's what I'm grateful for. The ability to learn, expand my knowledge, expand our businesses.
Yeah.
The ability, and this ability creates a lot of excitement and drive of what we want to do with our lives and our future.
Yep, for sure.
So my question with this came from our Facebook group, Honeymoon Mindset.
Okay.
What are you grateful about for me? Or for me?
I guess rephrase your question, please. Am I grateful for you?
What in our relationship or for me, what are you grateful for?
What am I grateful for in our relationship? Mm-hmm. Is that your question? Okay. Because yes, I am very grateful for you.
Well, I know that.
I am grateful for our relationship just in general, to be honest. I didn't know that a relationship could be this good, that you can have such an open and honest relationship, communication, vulnerabilities, all those things with a partner. Uh-huh. I guess like it said so many times, you know, you are my best friend too, because I've had that with best friends, but it just hasn't been one and the same person before. So things that I would have been too scared to share before and would eat me up inside is something that it still might not be easy to talk to you about.
Right.
Just because I know it might not make you happy, or, you know, it might disappoint you a little bit or something like that. But I am so confident in knowing that I can talk to you and go to you. So I am extremely grateful for that. And just to know I always have someone who has my back, that is always looking out for my best and encouraging me to be my best.
Awesome. Thank you.
Are you going to answer that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm grateful for our relationship that, like you said, we can be open and honest with each other. These last couple of days, one thing I've been thinking about, as I've been talking to certain people and stuff, it's like, you can't be around everybody all the time. You got to be around other people. Otherwise, you get tired, you get on each other's nerves.
Right.
And I can honestly answer that. I love being with you. I love a relationship that we can be with each other. There's enough dynamic and difference, understanding, compassion that I don't mind being around you. I like being around you.
Right.
I like that I can be open and honest, even when I have those doubts, those fears, insecurities, even though I get very scared and worried about, okay, I got to tell you something I'm feeling. I know that I can still come to you and be open and honest.
Mm-hmm.
And that you're there to help me, support me, and be able to get me through whatever I'm going through, and there to help lift me and support me and to make me better as a person and for you.
Yep.
You know, and our marriage and our relationship is just amazing. It has just, especially this past year, is only nothing but grown closer and stronger. Even when we deal with those tough times, hard times,
right?
AKA arguments, fights, you know,
and just pressures. I mean, you know, things come up. Obviously, we have 7 kids, so things come up that we have to deal with. And
right, yes,
we don't always we don't always see eye to eye. I mean, let's just be honest. And
of course,
it's just working through that what's going to be the best for everyone all the way around.
Right.
Yeah.
So being that this is a relationship, why is it important, do you think, to share and let your partner, significant other, spouse know what you're grateful for? What benefit does that have?
Well, I think we all get so busy that we take each other for granted. We take a lot of things for granted, but we definitely take our spouse or significant other for granted. So just letting them know every now and then and completely unsolicited that you're grateful, I think is amazing, because I guess I think we know we're grateful for each other, even though we don't say it, but there's still times that, you know, you just would like to hear that or see it mm-hmm. in something that you might do for each other.
So like, this morning you texted me, was it last night? Just how much you love me and you're grateful for me, you know,
mm-hmm.
when I got that text from you, it's like, it really spoke to my heart. It really spoke to my soul, because it came across different. It came across how grateful you were. It wasn't just the words. I also felt the action, the meaning, the emotion that went with it, because it was just random. It was out of the blue, so to speak. What are ways that people can tell each other that they're grateful or show it?
Well, I know, which, you know, we've obviously done a lot of work ourselves in finding the different ways that we communicate and that we communicate the best. And I know in some of that research,
mm-hmm.
it's been determined that service is one of the things that one of my love languages, I guess I'm just going to say it. And I think when we were talking about it, we both thought that before doing that research and reading the book of love languages,
mm-hmm.
kind of thought mine would be gifts. I mean,
right.
First of all, I'm a girl and I like gifts, and there's certain things I like more than others. And
you like high price
that you started giving me. But anyways, it's like, of course you can show me love by buying me things. That's great. But as we dug a little deeper, it's like, that's not my love language mm-hmm. at all. And it was kind of surprising. But anyways, getting back to the grateful part, it's like, in talking about that, you made the comment of just doing the dishes speaks volumes to me.
Right.
Because it just feels like that's something that usually falls on my plate. So, you know, if you do that unsolicited, that's showing me that you love me, that you're grateful for me. And
all right.
I guess it just says a lot.
Yeah.
So those little things that once you know, whether it's their actual love language or you just know what your partner would appreciate,
right.
You know, if you do those things, you don't have to come out and say the words, which of course the words are great too.
Right.
But it just in actions, it can show that you're appreciated and that they're grateful for you.
Most definitely. And I know for me, as we're going through that research and on ourselves and stuff, I know I found out for me, it was words also of affirmation.
Definitely.
You know, hearing from you that I'm doing okay, I'm, you know, you appreciate me and stuff like that means a lot. I'm also thinking back to the beginning of July now, when I did that 7-day challenge, you know, we made that one thing, tell the other person what they're grateful for, because a lot of times they don't hear it. They had a stressful day or stressful week.
Right.
And just being able to hear that means a lot to somebody.
Yep.
You know, you can, like you said, you can be actions. You can write a note, put it in their pocket, right, or for a lady, a purse, or on their dashboard of their car, send them flowers and stuff.
You know, I'm going to interject here that sometimes that happens a lot in the beginning of a relationship.
Yes.
Hint, hint.
Hey, I know.
But it dies down or is non-existent. So, yeah, it's just those little random things can really mean a lot. And it can really spark that,
right,
that feeling of, like when you are starting to date, and if your partner did that, you know, it's kind of like, oh yeah, that's so sweet.
That's one reason why I miss you at the school district. You work for the school district. Because every year when you were there, I bought you two things. One was a bunch of flowers.
Yeah.
And one was a live plant that you could try to keep alive.
Try.
Because you had no light, no natural light or anything like that to keep it alive.
And my thumb is not very green, yes.
Yeah. You know, I enjoyed doing that for you. That was my way of, I love you. Here's something for you to remember me by throughout the year.
Right. You know? And that is something that, you know, when I would see, I would think of you. Not that I needed that to think of you, of course, but it was a nice reminder.
Yeah. So being grateful for your partner, your spouse, boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife.
You know, and
like you said,
you can be grateful for a lot of other people too.
Oh, yeah. When you're in a relationship, yeah, let them know. Because like you said, it does die down. It does as you get into the normal routine and stuff. And I like the other thing that you really said was, it gets back to that dating. Why did you start showing appreciation? And a lot of times I know when we are in an argument or disagreement and I'm really frustrated with you, I start thinking about those things. It's like, why am I mad at her? Why am I upset with her when I feel this way towards you? It really helps get through those hard times, because it's like, no, I want that back. I'm grateful for her. I want her back. I need her back in my life and not irritated with each other.
Right.
So let's go on to the second question.
The second question is hobbies. What are our, I'm going to kind of put these two together, because what are our hobbies individually and together as a couple?
Mm-hmm.
Did you want to start that one?
Of course. I guess I have two hobbies. One would be horseback riding. Even though I don't have a horse, and I don't remember last time I went horseback riding was our honeemoon.
I think you're right. Yeah, that's been a while.
And my other hobby is I love putting jigsaw puzzles together.
Yes.
You know, I could sit down and put puzzles together nonstop for 8 hours. If I had the choice.
You are very patient.
I also find it very fun. You mm-hmm. know, as you've got those little pieces and you start bringing it together to bring out the big picture, it's really fun seeing how it all comes together.
Right.
And what are your hobbies?
Well, one of my hobbies, I guess I've always wanted this as a hobby, but I just never the time into it. But I would say now one of my hobbies is reading.
Mm-hmm.
I know we do it a lot for research and bettering ourselves, but I've really gotten to enjoy reading. And so that's one of my hobbies.
Yeah. Same here. Now that you say that. Yeah.
A couple other hobbies that we've have gone to the back burner and probably will be for a little while, but I still consider them hobbies, is camping and boating.
Camping.
A camper, not a tent.
Your idea of camping is, okay, yeah, let's see the camper. Oh, wait. Well, then we'll have a car, so let's just get a camping hotel.
No, I'm fine with camping in a camper.
I would say it's one of our, I guess the other hobby for me that I think about is cooking and baking. I really do enjoy cooking and baking.
Yeah.
One of our hobbies, like you're saying, is camping and boating, is traveling. We do like
to travel. We love to travel. Yep.
You know, getting out to see new places, how things are, how things work in other countries and other areas of the world.
And definitely traveling just to see family too.
Yes.
Because we don't have a lot of family close. Well, at least on my side. They're all in different states. So it's either a long car trip or airplane. So
yeah.
But it's always special because it's an effort to get together. So
Most definitely is. So, yeah.
I know one of the hobbies, if you classify this, when you brought up cooking and baking, our holiday baking popped in my head, which is a hobby that, again, if you call it this, I do, but we do as a family.
Yeah.
Which having teenage grown boys, it's kind of fun that they get excited and look forward to that holiday baking together. And they pick out recipes that they want to do. And in the past, we've made up treat plates that we give to our neighbors.
Yeah, I'd say it's more of a tradition.
True.
But however, they do... We'll have what we call fry night.
Yeah.
You know, all you health nuts, you might want to tune out to cheer. Yeah, we do like our french fries, our chicken tenders and stuff.
Your homemade chicken tenders are the bomb.
Yeah. Yeah, actually I had my kid ask me for it tonight. Wants my recipe. But that would be a tradition that, or a hobby that we do. We'll have one of those fry nights, or when it, even sometime on the weekend, you know. One of the boys might say, hey, let's do a bunch of baking.
Right.
You know? So then we'll do a bunch of baking a couple of times during the year or whatever. So those are hobbies we like to do as a family, you know. And it's fun to spend those times and do those things.
I would say another one that classifies, or it falls into those classifications, which I guess this technically wasn't the question, but as a couple, you know, turns into as a family.
They're right.
Is movies.
Yeah.
We love movies and we'll definitely love to have movie night. That is one of the things my boys and I did while you were gone was order a pizza and have a movie night.
What? You didn't make pizza?
No.
But that'd be the thing when we have movie night is, you know, like we like to cook and bake is we like to make homemade
pizza.
You know.
Popcorn in the popper.
Boy, yep. Boys will say they want whatever on their pizza, and we get it, and they each get their own little individual
sometimes,
pizza.
Sometimes, yeah, usually. Sometimes we do personal size, sometimes we do full size,
So, and it's important, you know, as a couple, you get those hobbies to do together. It helps you grow together, learn each other, find out what each other's vulnerabilities and weaknesses are.
Right.
You know, you've been starting to ask questions about some of the puzzles I play, you know, take an interest in it.
Right.
Because it helps grows your experience.
Right.
And same with you. It's like when you're baking something, it's like, why did you do that? You know, I learned from you as well. So hobbies help you learn each other, things about each other.
Yes.
And grow. And then as you get older and as you have kids, the kids will learn to see their hobbies.
Right. Well, and I think you're alluding to too with the kids and as a whole family, it's just opening that up and gets them interested in different areas that, you know, at least for our kids, you know, they're probably not just going, hey, I feel like baking a pizza. Right. I mean, instead it's like, you know, it came up with us sometime, like, hey, let's make our own pizzas. You guys can decide what you want. And, you know, it's also, I guess we're kind of making this a huge gamut of topic, but it also makes those traditions that are things that they can look back, that we can look back on too. And, you know, maybe they will continue with their families as they grow.
Now, especially, how do you feel if somebody has a hobby that's just like, there's no way in the world that I could get behind that or support that? How do you handle something like that?
Like skydiving?
Skydiving?
I don't know. I'd actually, I think that'd be pretty cool, but I don't think there's any way I could do it.
Like somebody like if one of my hobbies was, which it's not, or, so, or one of their spouse's hobby is really interested in gooey, gunky stuff, playing with it or experiments.
Gooey, gunky stuff.
You know.
That's very interesting.
How would you handle that? How would you support your spouse and how would you, what would you do about it?
I would probably say you enjoy your gooey, gunky stuff and I'm going to, you know, explore my hobby of needlepoint that you don't like. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's the whole point, that even though we have a lot of hobbies that are together as a couple and as a family, we still need to have our individual hobbies. Yes. We still, and you said it earlier too, yes, we love to spend time together and we spend almost 24/7, 365, but it is okay to have time apart and to do things that you like that I might not like. And it's okay for me to do things that you might not like, you know, that, that we have our own interests and hobbies. I guess the only thing is, you know, just not being negative about it. Like,
I would even go further, you know, try it once in a while. Not so much to take it over or criticize, no, but to experience it, see why, try to learn why they like it, you know, try to support them in their hobby and their interests, because that goes back to being grateful. You're grateful for them. You're grateful for their ability to be different,
right?
Or them different from you, but you're also being showing grateful or gratitude towards the other person by taking an interest in what they're liking.
Right.
Yeah.
But like I said, it's okay to have.
Oh, yes, of course. So
individual interests.
So now this next question is a little on the serious side here. So we had a question from our Honeymoon Mindset
Facebook group. And it says, how do you resolve arguments?
Effective communication rather than reacting. So I guess for me, as you're in one of those, probably one of those ones where it's, you're going to just have to agree to disagree.
Sometimes, yeah.
You know, you can't really come to a ending, and instead of just getting upset and angry with each other.
Well, I guess, I mean, so it's just a general question. How do you resolve arguments? I mean, for us, we usually talk it through.
Right. But it also says effective communication rather than reacting.
Right.
How do you end it so that, you know, I guess that's where it comes to mind, is you just have to agree or disagree.
But it's not talking about ending.
Right, because you're resolving it. Because if you don't react it, you keep getting...
I guess how I take it differently maybe than you do. I feel like they're asking or commenting to maybe talk about effective communication other than just reacting. Like if we had a disagreement or an argument instead of just being, you're a jerk and I'm just gonna be mad at you.
Right.
You know, that is, in my mind, reacting. Mm-hmm. Where, what would the effective communication be to resolve that argument?
Right.
And I think that's, I mean, sometimes we just react. I mean, we're human. It's human nature.
Yes, most definitely.
And unfortunately, those times that happens, it results in, okay, we're being stupid, and I think we both usually apologize and
yes, you do.
Sorry you overreacted. But in our arguments where we have effective communication, it's usually like, okay, wait, stop. And again, just kind of like this question, it is coming to, okay, this is my point of view. What is your point of view?
Right.
This is how I interpret it. You're interpreting it some in a different way.
Right.
And so that helps a lot, just in like, oh, okay, I see what you're saying.
To understand where somebody's coming from.
Yeah.
Says.
Yeah. You know, I'm looking at it one way, so I might think your comment's stupid.
Mm-hmm. Stupid is, stupid does, you know.
But once you say, well, you know, why you made that comment, because of, you took it in a different way, it's like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
And I guess I'll take on to that is how you see it, but also how it makes you feel too helps with the effective communication part of what you're saying, because a lot of times when you start getting that, where you're getting a lot of heated up, each other getting heated up, worked up, and instead of just reacting, it's like, okay, like you said, let's take a step back. This is how I'm interpreting, and this is how it's making me feel. So now you're also dealing with the emotions, you're dealing with how they're interpreting, and then you can both get on the same page.
Right.
And so you're talking about it the same way and have the outcome that you want.
Right. And I think one of the things that you love most about me is how I will bring to light different points of view.
Yes.
And depending on what the argument is about, it forcing you to look at what other people might be thinking or feeling or saying as to why, you know, it spurred an argument.
Yeah. So as you start a conversation and it starts to turn into an argument, I guess, let me rephrase that. Here's how I'm interpreting this question.
Okay.
You're starting out a conversation.
Yeah.
And as you're talking about it, it starts to become more heated and more argument, and you want this argument to end. How do you effectively communicate?
No, I'm fine. No, it's fine.
And react. So you affect community, and you're just not always constantly reacting back and forth. And then you just end up throwing dishes, slamming doors, putting holes in the wall.
Thank God you've never done any of that.
Nope, I haven't broken my hand yet. Or a frying pan over my head.
No.
So I guess that still goes back to what you're saying. Stop. Take a minute. Take a deep breath. And I guess even asking the other person, what are you trying to communicate? What do you want? Like the guests we had on last week, Justin Reed, I know we're part of a group of a mastermind group of theirs. And even they say, okay, let's stop. What are you looking for? Are you looking for me just to listen?
Right.
Or are you looking for me to help solve something?
Right. Preface the conversation with,
Yeah,
I'm just venting, or I want your input.
Yeah. Or I could start venting and it's like, you know what? What do you think? You know, as you're going on, you change your mind because you got that out of your system.
Well, that's a good point, because sometimes maybe, dare I say, women are more just wanting to vent, and guys wanting to fix things start giving their opinion.
Yeah. guys.
And don't get me wrong, it's not always that way, but
guys, normal nature.
Yeah. And, you know, and sometimes that can just start an argument where, and I know in the past that we've had that. It's like, if I'm talking about something I'm all fired up and heated up about, and it's maybe to do with work or I don't know, like nothing to do with us.
Yes.
And then you start giving advice and it's like, I don't care. That's not what I want to hear right now. It's
exactly.
Like,
exactly. Or those times where you want, you know, I just need my time. And like I've said before on the show, I've had to learn over time, especially this past year, you just need 15, 20 minutes just to calm down, relax, and then you'll talk versus where I feel like you're just trying to sweep it underneath the rug and that's not it. You just need that time.
Well, in my
to clear your head or to,
I mean, and in fairness, I have swept things under the rug for many, many years. So that, so that is a go-to reaction for me. But no, with our relationship now, it's like, okay, just let me think, let me whatever. Yeah. Right. Just give me a few minutes and then we can talk about it. Or sometimes I even need a day, but no, it doesn't get swept under the rug anymore, but that definitely used to be the go-to.
Yeah. So.
So hopefully we answered that.
So let's just jump down to our sixth question here. How do you talk to your partner about something hard, sensitive, or worried about their reaction? You know, I guess for me, I know I am more prone to this than you are, it seems like, just because of my character, my nature, or my history.
Okay.
How we sort of found out. And I know there's times where it's like, I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to talk to you about this. You're just going to get mad. You're going to get upset. It's a lot of those insecurities and fears that build up into us that create this worry and this unwanted stress in us or in ourselves. And every time when I sit down and tell you, you know what? I don't know how to tell you this. I feel like you're going to get mad and upset and angry.
Yeah.
You know, but I want to tell you, I need to tell you because I don't want to keep it from you because I love and care about you and I want your help or just let you know what I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, okay, go ahead. So for me, it's like prefacing it that way helps diffuse it. And it also takes that fear and insecurities in me and really quiets those thoughts and feelings down and lets me be open and helps me be more open and honest with you and vulnerable.
Right. Well, and I think too, you know, depending on how you preface the conversation, it's easier to know, okay, this is a serious conversation or it's a conversation that obviously it was hard for you to bring up. As you're talking, I just had something pop in my head that is classic with relationship with my mother is, now don't be mad when I say this. It's like, yeah. It doesn't matter what you're going to say next. You could say that you're giving me $1 million. I'm still going to be mad just because you're like, don't be mad.
Yeah.
So I think it just really depends on how you bring things up. Like, yeah, when you say, okay, yeah, you know, can we talk later? You know, can I have a half hour or an hour of your time or whatever, like dedicated time?
Uh-huh.
There's something we need to talk about. Of course, it's kind of like, uh-oh, what's this about? but I think, too, we're so honest and open with each other. It's not like a fear that I used to have of, oh, God, what is this going to be? It's just like, oh, okay, yeah, what's going on?
Uh-huh.
And again, it's just knowing like, okay, this is important and whatever you're going to talk about, You want my uninterrupted attention, and it's probably, I mean, whether it's bad or not, but you know, it's probably something that's harder to talk about. Otherwise you probably would have just said it.
Right. And the other thing I guess goes on in my mind is, as you preface it, even if it's something to do with the relationship, you know, you don't want to go and say, I got a problem with you. I want some time, because the other person is going to put their defenses up and be like, okay, what are they going to start criticizing now? And it's also using a lot of those I feel statements.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how I'm feeling. This is the way I am thinking and interpreting it. So it goes back to the last question is, just because even in your relationship, you might be getting a feeling or whatever, but don't make it towards your partner and stuff like that. Keep it, this is how I'm feeling. This is this. And that way, it takes some of that fear and stuff off of the other person too, by keeping it more neutral.
Well, and if you think about it, it is your feelings.
Right.
So you can't say what they're thinking or feeling because you don't know. I mean, you can only say what you're thinking and feeling.
Right. And I guess the other thing that's going through my head that I'm trying to say is, it's also not playing the blame game, you know?
Right.
You know, it's not that blame game. It's not the other person saying, well, I feel that way because of this. It doesn't become this argument. It becomes more, let's deal with the issue. What's going on with it? And let's help you figure out what's going on. I know there's times where you've come to me too, and it's like, well, what do you need me to change? How can I help you?
Right.
You know, that way we're helping each other grow. And through that process, you get to know each other more and better and be able to grow the relationship.
Right. Well, and sometimes, yeah, it's just, okay, when you do this, it makes me feel this way. And it's just opening that conversation. I know it's just very generic, but you know, there's certain things that might, I don't know, even if it's like an annoyance, mm-hmm. that it's something the other person doesn't even realize.
Yes.
And if you just keep it in, they don't know any better. And if you don't say anything, you know, then really it comes down, it's your fault, although you're feeling like right. It's their fault.
Yes, yep. And there's one time a couple of weeks ago where it's just like, you were doing something that you normally do and never bother me. And then for that couple of days, whatever, it's like, okay, whatever you're doing is just irritating the heck out of me. Just stop doing it. You remember that a couple of weeks ago?
No.
And it's like, I don't know why it's never bothered me before.
I'm so not annoying. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yes. Perfect little angel.
Yes. That's why you love me.
There's times like that. It's like, instead, like you said, instead of keep getting irritated and upset with a person, stop and say, you know what, this has never irritated me before. Got underneath my skin. But this time, I don't know why. It just is. That way, I don't know what it is. You know, that person can either just listen to you and say, okay, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to, or, you know, why is it feeling? What do you feel about it when I do it? What's that, those thoughts and feelings? And you guys can work it out together as
right.
a couple.
Yeah.
So.
I guess it's just knowing that you can be honest and vulnerable
mm-hmm.
with each other, and nothing's going to change that.
Yeah.
Because I guess, you know, if you don't necessarily have those things, which I guess that's where I came from, it is hard to talk about sensitive things or hard things, and then it just gets pushed down, and that just gets on top of new things and new things and new things, it just starts eating away at you.
Yeah. So when you guys have something like this that's irritating or whatever, or sensitive, just talk to them. Okay. So the very last question, I'll let you handle this one all by yourself.
Okay.
What's that look for?
So our last question we have on here is, what is our mission?
So I wrote the wrong R for hours. Missed.
Yes. What is our mission?
What is our mission here for with Honeymoon Mindset Radio Show?
Our mission is to be able to touch individuals and help them achieve that state of mind that we've been able to achieve in the last year, that we've made ourselves better, and we know that anything's possible, and specifically in our marriage, but not limited to that. Our mission is to be able to help anyone that has maybe been struggling with self-doubt, insecurities,
How do we plan on helping them? Do you have a brain fart?
No. So, what we plan on doing to help people is obviously through our Facebook group, Honeymoon Mindset, with our radio show, Honeymoon Mindset, and also with our retreat center, which will be named Wildflower Ranch, which will include in weekend fully immersed into just a full whole body experience, I guess, if you want to say.
Yeah.
Mindset, healthy cooking, working on yourselves. We'll have some business weekends.
Personal weekends.
Personal, yes, definitely.
Couples.
Couples, families.
And it's also get down to the root of things.
Right.
What's really going on.
And it's, yeah, to get to those roots, to really be passionate about your life.
Yeah.
And live the best life you can.
And just like with this radio show, the Facebook group, and the Retreat Center, we're going to give you a lot of tips, help answer questions, and we're going to let you look into our lives as well, because look what we've learned and experienced and where we've been and where we've come and where we want to go.
Exactly. I guess we look at, or I'll speak for myself, maybe 6+ years ago, looking at where I was in my life and trying to think how I could help someone that was maybe in that same situation.
Yeah.
And not to have to waste 6 years or more to get to the point that I'm at, that we're at. And so I guess that's our ultimate goal of everything. Passionate Life Mentors,
mm-hmm.
Wildflower Ranch Retreat Center, and our radio show and our Facebook group, Honeymoon Mindset. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess for me, yeah. The other thing that's been really sticking in my mind is, you know, we both are in our second marriages.
Right.
I don't want people to go through what I went through or you went through an experience.
Right.
Whether it's your first marriage, second marriage. And as you also said, is the statistic for divorce for second marriages and sequential marriages and
right.
how high that is. We want to stop that. We want to keep you going and alive and keep that honeymoon mindset, that honeymoon phase feeling for the rest of your life.
Right.
So. All right, baby. Anything else you want to add before we close out another show for another week?
I am so excited about what we're doing and what this next year will bring. I mean, we have amazing things that we're going to be doing, and I just can't wait to help individuals, couples, families.
Mm-hmm. So
get to the passionate life we have.
Yes. Because once they get that passionate, it radiates to everybody else. Radiates out.
Yes.
She's making fun of me, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, this is a radio.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we want to thank you for tuning in this week and letting us answer your questions and letting us look into our lives. Thank you for letting us. I'm going to stop while I'm behind.
Thank you for looking into our lives. If you have any other questions, feel free to leave a comment or message us at Honeymoon Mindset Facebook group or
honeymoonmindset.com. Also, if you're listening to our rebroadcast or the replays on iTunes, Spotify, please rate our show. We'd love to hear and see the ratings or the ratings.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. You have a great week.
Bye-bye. Thanks for joining us this week on Honeymoon Mindset. Make sure to check us out at our website, www.honeymoonmindset.com. If you found value in our show, please check us out on our Facebook group, Honeymoon Mindset, and share with a friend. If you and your partner want to experience more passion in your relationship, please send us an email at passionatelifementors@gmail.com. Be sure to tune in every Thursday at 1 p.m. Central. Thank you. This is Beth.
And James.
Live like us in paradise with a honeymoon mindset.